Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above, when he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and so undone, without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete, when he reached down his hand for me. How my heart does rejoice when I hear his sweet voice. In the tempest to him I then flee, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and so undone, without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. I was lost and so undone, without God or his Son, when he reached down his nail-scarred hands for me.
Amen. Take your Bibles now, if you would, please, if you have that with you. We're going to turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 12, please. Mark chapter 12. Read a few verses from the Word of God today as we begin with the message today. Mark chapter number 12. As you find that, if you would stand to your feet if you're able. Mark chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse number 41, please. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41. And the Bible says, if you follow along as we read, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use the message this morning to be a help and a challenge in our lives. Speak to our hearts. I pray, God, if there's anyone in this room that does not know you as their Savior, anyone that would not know that heaven is their home when they leave this life and when they die, I pray that they would trust in Jesus, who was sung about so much today already, and we're thankful for the help and to trust in you alone. Now speak to our hearts and help us. Be with every service on our property, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, thank you for coming today. Last week, we covered the uncomfortable subject of hell, and today we get the uncomfortable subject of giving. And so I figured we'd just go back to back and get them out of the way. And I just figured I'd let you know right off the bat what we're talking about today. Giving is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament alone. So God has a lot to say about giving, but I know that is not the favorite subject for you to hear about, and probably not my favorite subject to preach about, because I get to preach to you about it as well. But Jesus gives an example here, and the Bible says that Jesus went and sat over against the treasury. This was not the only time Jesus went to the treasury, the place where people would bring their money to the house of God for the work of God. And as he went there and he sat there that day, he came for a very specific purpose, and he came to watch. And he watched how people came to the house of God and they came to the treasury. And as they came there that day, the Bible says in verse number 41, he says, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. It wasn't just about who came. It wasn't how much they came, how much they gave, but it was why they came. What was the purpose of them coming that day? And as he watched them, he says that many that were rich cast in much. There was people that put in some big checks. I don't think they had checks then, but you get the idea. But they brought big amounts of money, and they brought that to the treasury. And then there was this poor widow. And one woman that he points out, we don't know her name. This passage is also mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 21, I believe, as well. And this poor widow woman that came that day, and she gave two mites, a portion of a penny. And not only did she give this small amount here, but the Bible says that she gave all that she had. Verse number 44 says then that she gave all that she had, even all her living. She emptied the account. She emptied the piggy bank, wherever it was she kept it, and she came and she gave all that she had. You know what that was? That was faith. And as Jesus watched all those that came and brought large amounts, and I don't think that Jesus was as much condemning the rich, and some of it he was, because many times the rich, as you'd see in the previous verses, that they would come into places and they would pray for everyone to hear their prayers, and they would come in fancy clothing for everyone to see. Christianity for a show is not taken very well. And they would come to give of all they had. But the poor widow woman, I can imagine that she came, and she came and dropped in her two mites, and she probably thought, what good is this going to do? How can this really help very much for the cause of Christ? But as Jesus sat there that day, as he watched, he looked, and he saw this widow woman that she gave everything. She gave all she had. Now think about this. When she gave all, again, a widow woman, not a spouse to come and care for her. We don't know her age. But when she went home with nothing to care for herself. But notice this, that Jesus saw her faith. Jesus saw her giving. When he was there that day, Jesus saw the rich and he saw the poor. Jesus not only saw who gave, but he watched how people gave. He saw those that were maybe giving more for a show, and the widow woman that just really gave by faith and love for God. And he watched how much they gave. It wasn't about the amount, but it was about the sacrifice. It was about the sacrifice and the love that she had for her God to come and to give her all, to give everything she had to God. This story really could be preached and taught in a couple of different avenues when it comes to your sacrifice of giving of yourself and of your all to God. Giving all that you have to God with no reserves and nothing left behind. Don't worry, I'm not preaching that you empty your bank accounts and giving all you have, or the church would be empty here in just a moment. But I want to give you a challenge as Jesus did, and as they came to give, in verse number 43, after these people gave, he called unto him his disciples. He didn't go and preach to the multitudes. He didn't go and condemn the rich. And he really didn't even go talk to the widow woman, as it seems here. But he gathered the disciples together in verse 43. And he said, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, did she give more in amount? No. But she gave more in sacrifice than anyone else. And all of them combined, the Bible says that she gave more than all of them that day, because she gave of all of her living. There's a story told of a man who was asked by another, said, are you a believer in the Christian religion? And the man said, oh, certainly. He said, are you a member of one of of a church then, I suppose. And the man said, a member of a church? No, indeed. Why should I be a member of a church? It is quite unnecessary. The dying thief wasn't a member of a church, and he went to heaven. He says, but of course you've been baptized. You know the command. He says, been baptized. Oh, no, that's another needless ceremony. I'm safe as the dying thief was. He never needed to be baptized. But surely, since you will not join a church or be baptized, do you do something to acknowledge your faith? Do you give to the Lord in some way? He said, no, sir, I do nothing of that kind. The dying thief. And then he stopped the man and said, let me remark before you go any further. You have seemed to be a pretty intimate terms with a dying thief. You seem to derive a great deal of consolation from his career. But mind you, there is one important difference between you and him. He was a dying thief and you're a living one. Don't know if that was true or not, but I think the conversation ended right there, is my thought. The thought from the challenge today is this. Many times we give ourselves excuses away from commands from God. And if we can't give our excuses, and the world can't give you an excuse, and the devil won't give you an excuse, there are many reasons of that we could give of why not to give to the Lord. But I can give you this, though. There's more reasons to give to God than to not give to his work. I want to give you a few thoughts today that I believe can be a help. And don't throw anything at me today, but help me out if you would, please. But I want to give you a few thoughts about this giving with a purpose. Giving with a purpose. What is the purpose of giving to a local New Testament church? Think about this. There are many places and ways to give all around this world. And there are many noble causes out there. And there is a lot that would be a waste of time and money, of course, as well. But I can't think of a better place or way to give than through your local New Testament church. Why is that? Because without the giving of a local New Testament church, we would have no buildings. We would have no classrooms. We would have no buses. We would have no events. We would have no chairs, no air conditioning. Thank the Lord for air conditioning today. We would not have anything without the giving from a local New Testament church of the givers that are here that we benefit from, right? First of all, today, giving is a step of obedience. Giving is a step of obedience. As a Christian, if we do not give, we are not obedient to the Lord. The book of Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. It says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. See, giving is a step of obedience as a Christian. This morning we were getting ready to leave the house. And as a preacher, you're always looking for illustrations. And one of them just really dropped in my lap as I was leaving today that the Lord gave to me. I came in the house to pick up my family to bring them back to church. And my daughter's got a little basket that's near the back door where I drop my keys and wallet. And of course, I put some change in there as well. And as I went through there, and as kids randomly go through things, and you're like, where did you get that from? And they're taking money out of my change to go and give an offering to church. And I thought, girls, you're making it too easy to give an illustration. Will a man rob God? But you've robbed me. And I thought, you're stealing from me to give to church. Of course, I would let them have the money to give in the offering. And they were very excited for that. But how many times would we take what God has given from us and then say, God, you want what from me? Understanding that everything that we have comes from God. Right? Every single thing that I have in my life, from my health to my life to my salvation to this church and my family, everything that I have came from God. So isn't it interesting when God commands and expects for us to give and we say, God, you've given me everything and you want me to give what? And we turn to God and we say, God, I know you've given me 100% of what I have. And when God says, I want the tithe 10% back, and we say, I'm not giving you the 10% back. And God said, but I gave you everything, and you won't even give a part. And God says this. He says, bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, that God always has, God does, and always will fund the local New Testament church by the giving of the people in the church. And he says, to bring it to the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. But then he says this, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind the windows of heaven of blessings opening up on my life today, where God says, I just want to dump a whole bunch of blessings on you today. Too many times we look at what we have to give instead of what we get. Too many times we look at what we have to give up instead of what we give in replacement when it comes from God. See, when it comes to our giving, we think, God, how could I give to you? But God is looking and says, how could you not give to me? And God is just waiting. He's holding back the windows of heaven and the blessings, holding them back that he wants to put on your life if you would simply be obedient in the area of giving. Number one today, giving is a step of obedience. Number two, giving honors the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That our giving honors God. I can imagine Jesus sitting there as they came to the treasury, and he watched them and he saw this widow woman put in her two mites. No one else saw it. No one else knew. But can you imagine what that did to the heart of God? As he watched this woman and said, she gave everything. Others, they came to give, and you could imagine as it was a condemned in the previous verses that they would come and they would pray and come in fancy clothing for others to see, and this widow woman just came for a moment to give to God of everything that she had. Our giving honors the Lord. To honor the Lord is to have respect to God. To have respect to God, to glorify God, to praise God with everything in our life. See, here's the thing. This life is not my own. I'm bought with a price. The Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Giving honors the Lord. The world uses money for so much wickedness today. The wickedness that this world promotes today, and they fund and they praise and they honor. How about our lives bringing honor to God? How about we take our lives and try to give honor to the God of heaven? Giving comes from the heart. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Not only is giving a step of obedience, our giving honors the Lord, but then number 3, giving comes from the heart. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse number 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Sorry to make you read that today, but God loves a cheerful giver. If you use the example, and it's easy to prove it this way, that when you ask your children to do something, and when they go off stomping and screaming and slamming the door and throwing things around, but they go and do what you told them to, you don't think, man, this just pleases my heart. What a good son and a good daughter that they would go and obey me. You think you obeyed with the nastiest attitude ever, and I cannot bless that. I mean, there's part of it you think, well, at least they did it. But is that the end goal? No, it's not, that you'd want them to obey with a right attitude. And we understand that giving should come from the heart. One of the reasons why giving is not a popular subject is because our money is really attached to our heart. Where the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we have a love for the things that God has given to us and we don't want to let go of. Proverbs chapter 12 says, For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Why? Because the possessions in our life are attached to our heart. And so really where you give is where your heart is. And we'll get to that in a future point of about giving to the work of God. But giving truly does come from the heart. Whereas a Christian, again, remembering of everything I have comes from God. And if all that God gave you in this life is salvation, a home in heaven, not having to go to a place called hell, mansions in heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl, not having to pay for the punishment of my sin, and you think, God, if that's what you gave me, how could I not want to give back to you? When God, think about this, when God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for our sin, no greater gift and sacrifice ever given than Jesus Christ. God will never ask you to do something that he's not already done himself or given us an example in the Word of God. Giving, it comes from the heart. It really is a heart issue if we're not willing to give to God. Giving, first of all, it's a step of obedience. Giving, it honors the Lord. Giving, number three, it comes from the heart. But number four, giving is an act of faith. Giving's an act of faith. You ever come to that point where you think, God, I know I need to give. I know there's an opportunity or a command to give. But then you think, God, I can't do it this week. You ever been there before? Sometimes where it doesn't hurt to give, but other times where it does hurt. And where you say, God, I'm giving by faith, and I need you to come through. I've been there before. I'm sad to admit it, that there's an offering that comes by and above the tithes, and I think, I know I should give. And you look in your wallet, and there's two different bills in that wallet. And one is a larger one, and one's a smaller one. Now, don't look at me this way, because you do the same thing. And if not, then I'm sorry, and I repent. But I look at that, and God says, give the larger bill. And I'm like, but I need it for this. Man, that one's going to hurt, and I give it. And God says, I'll bless you if you give. And God always blesses more than you give. He always gives back more than you give to him. Why? Because God has given us everything. When he's given us life and health and a home and a church and all the... how could I not give back to God? Really, it's an issue of our heart, but also it's an act of faith. God commands us to give 10% back to him, and this means we're supposed to live on the other 90% of our income. And I know that comes after all the other stuff the government wants to take from you and all those things as well. But, again, it's an act of faith. Remember the widow woman? How much did she give of her living? She gave her what? She gave her all. She gave everything to God. You know what? Because she believed that if she gave all to God, God would take care of her. And God has always promised that he would never see the righteous forsaken or begging bread, that God always provides and takes care of his children. And God gives the example of you taking care of your children. How much more would your Heavenly Father not care for you? See, giving is not based on how much you make or how old you are, but it's obedience and sacrifice and faith equal to God as God has given to us. But then lastly today is this, giving allows us to have a part in the work of God. Giving allows me to have a part of the work of God. Aren't you thankful to have a church to go to today? There are places all around this world where they have no church. Places all around this world that have no Bible. They have no preacher. They have no Sunday school classes, no place to bring their children to raise them up for the Lord. And we get to have a part in the work of God. You think about different places and areas that you can give in this world. And again, some other noble causes. But there is nothing like giving to the eternal work of God. Amen, right? There's nothing like giving to the eternal work of God. Why? Because the purpose of any church, but specifically Shasta Baptist Church, the purpose of our church is to preach the gospel. Right? Jesus, when he left, he told them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command for every Christian, but it's a command for every church as well. And every ministry and every purpose of Shasta Baptist Church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's souls out there that need to hear about Jesus Christ still. There's people that need to hear about Him. Say, why do we preach in the, I was going to say the jails, we're not preaching there, the juvenile hall and the rescue missions, and why do we go door to door, and why do we run buses and have all the extra things that we do? We could sit back and take it easy as a church. You know that? We could sit back and take it easy and just show up here for 1 hour on a Sunday morning like many churches do and go home and do nothing for eternity's sake. But there are souls that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be one to limit the working of God. We are so blessed in our church to have faithful workers, faithful givers, but more importantly is this, to have the hand of God upon this church. This past week, as we mentioned it already, we got to have our vacation Bible school, and it was a blast. If you didn't get to be here, I want to encourage you to, this week, I want to encourage you to be here tonight to see what we got to have a part of. I mean, we had a monkey and a gorilla and a banana, and the Bible was taught as well, somewhere in this well. We had a great time this week, but the best part was that there was young people that didn't know about Jesus Christ. They did not know that they were saved and on their way to heaven, and we got to share them from the Word of God how they could be saved. You got a part in that. We ran buses today. You had a part in that. We had ministries today. You had a part in that. And we get a part of the work of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This nation is so backwards. This world is so backwards where many, this younger generation, I'm not trying to knock the younger generation because I've been a part of that many times as well, but many times the younger generation, all we want to do is receive and not give. We want things for free and given to us, and we don't want to give or sacrifice for others. That's not how this nation was built. This nation was not built on people just taking and not giving. It was about sacrificing. But more than that, our Christianity, our salvation was not given just on receiving. It's about giving. That God gave His life for us. Why? So we could go to heaven, yes, but also so that we can live for Him. So that as God has given to me, I can give to others. I was not saved at Shasta Baptist Church. I was saved as a boy at a church, but I'm thankful that there was a preacher at that church. I'm thankful that there was soul winners at the church, that there was Sunday school class at the church. Why? So I could hear about Jesus Christ. And if there was not a church there then, where would I be today? This church will continue by the blessings of God as God's people are obedient to follow Him. As Jesus sat against the treasury, He looked and He watched how they gave. And He said, they gave of their abundance. And God can use of their abundance, but this widow woman, she gave all she had. And God saw her faith, He saw her obedience, and He saw that this woman was willing to give her all to God. Again, I'm not here to ask you to give your all to God. That is not what I'm asking. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme by any chance at all. But He saw her faith, and He used this time as an example to turn to the disciples and to show this woman gave her all. No one else would see. No one else would know. You know, when we give, we get to give to be obedient to God. I want to be right with God. And when you're obedient to God, God said, I promise I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. How the blessings come, when they come, I don't know. But blessings that come from God are better than anything else in this world when we're obedient to God. When you obey God, but also when you give, you honor the Lord. Do you want to honor the Lord with your life? Do you want to honor God today? You wouldn't be in church today if you did not want to honor God and to praise and to lift Him up. This world loves to smear the name of God and the Word of God and the principles of God all around this world. But we get a chance to honor and lift up God in our church. What a blessing that is. And it shouldn't just be here, but as we go our way. But also giving, it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. There's times where you give and you think, God, I'm giving because I have to. But God says, hey, I want you to give because you love me, because I've given so much to you. Giving is an act of faith, where it takes faith in God and His Word, and that God will take care of you, but it allows you to have a part of the work of God. You get to be a part of the work of God, investing for eternity. The Bible says to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Don't lay up our treasures on this earth. Many people are living for just today. They're living for another fun moment, for another purchase, for things that will not last for eternity. But we get a chance to invest in eternity, in the lives of men, women, and children that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Giving allows you to have a part of the work of God. Remember this, that no one gave more than Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." That God gave us an example, that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die and to pay for our sins, so we can know that we're going to heaven. But as God has given you that sacrifice, that salvation, He said, "I want you to take your lives and to give to others." What a sacrifice and an example that God gave to us so that we can give to others. With head bowed and eyes closed, please, today, God, I pray that You would speak to our hearts about this subject, that the Word of God has much to say about giving. Lord, may we approach this with wanting to be obedient, with wanting to honor You, not giving for an example for others, but to give truly, it's really to give our lives back to You. I pray that would be our testimony as we come to Your house, as we come to Your Word, that we would want to give as You've given to us, as You've blessed us so much. We thank You for Shasta Baptist Church and all that those have sacrificed for us to have a church here today. But Lord, I pray that we don't have a church just for today, but I pray that we have a church for years and decades to come, to be a light in this community, to give the gospel out to those that don't know about Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for Your salvation that You freely offer to all. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room this morning that does not know You as their Savior, they do not know if they were to die today that they would go to heaven, I pray that today they would trust in You alone as their Savior. Would there be one or more in this room that would say, "I don't know that if I died today that I would go to heaven. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could have an eternity in a place called heaven."